listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
If you learned about a big problem in our world, one that hurt inside and could make you cry, what would you do about it? How much could you do as one person? Would you set out to earn at least $100,000 to be used to set the problem straight? If you even thought you could raise $100,000, how would you do it? And how long would it take you? My guest today is Vivian Haar. Vivian was 8 years old when she learned about the problem of child slavery in our world. She set about earning $100,000 so she could put an end to child slavery in the world. She did it with a lemonade stand in less than a year. She's 11 now, and you won't believe all that has happened since she decided to do what it takes to end child slavery in the world. Vivian Haar is from Fairfax, California. She's homeschooled this year, and she and her family are now running a very unique and environmentally friendly business called Make a Stand, selling lemonade, and it's donating 5% of pre-tax dollars to fight child slavery in the world. Find out more about Vivian at makeastand.com. We also have today some children who are now the age that Vivian was when she started. They've learned about Vivian and what she's been doing. They looked at her videos and talked about her efforts, and they've read her book called Make a Stand. They're learning in school themselves how to run a business, how to borrow money and make money in their own financial literacy project. These students attend third grade at Mary Hill School Midtown in Sacramento, California. Their teachers, Mrs. Robinson and Ms. McLean, have brought them together so we can talk with Vivian about what she's been doing and how it inspires others. So, Vivian, welcome to Full Power Living.
Well, thank you for having me.
Great. Okay, students from Mary Hill, how about saying a big, big hi to Vivian? There you go. Great. That's 38. I'm so glad they're there. So let's tell your story first, Vivian. When you were 8, your mom and dad saw a photograph in an art gallery, and that picture made your whole family aware that there were children in the world who were not having a childhood because they were being slaves, working all the time. And so your parents came home and they talked about it, and I want to know, how did you get from that picture to setting up your lemonade stand?
Well, I saw the photo, and I said, we have to do something. And they said, well, honey, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to set up a lemonade stand. Because at the time, I was 8, and the business experience of an 8-year-old is usually a lemonade stand. So, me and my parents ordered a lemonade stand, and, okay, I got to tell you the truth, we didn't build it. But my dad likes to think that he built it, because he thinks he's good at building, but he's not. So, anyways, we ordered it, and then I set up my lemonade stand. So first it was for 173 days, and I had reached my goal of $100,000. And my parents said, you did it, honey, you're done, you can stop. And I said, is child slavery done? And they said, no, it's not done. And so I said, then I'm not done. And I kept going. And then I made lemonade for about a year, thanks to my mom. And I set up my lemonade stand for 365 days, and then I reached the goal. Actually, I think I made $1 million from that, I think. Well, half of it went to child slavery, and the other half went to building our company.
Yeah, and you're building the company so you can make more money to help with the child slavery issue. So 173 days, that's less than one half of a year. Now, one of the questions I have is, just how hard was it to get up every single day and go man your lemonade stand for those 173 days? And what got you out there?
Actually, I was in school that year.
Uh-huh.
So that made it a lot harder. And I was doing swim every day for 2 hours. And then I was doing singing, and then I was doing my lemonade stand.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. I had a pretty stacked schedule, so I would just say if I didn't want to, and I'm like, ugh, no one's going to be out there with me, and I have to go out and make a stand, and then I remember what I'm doing, and it really motivates me, and yeah. And it's a lot easier when you have your friends there.
I'm sure it is. So now, when you started out, if I understand this right, you started asking people to pay $2 for a glass of lemonade, and somewhere along the way, you decided to give the lemonade away free. Why?
Well, because if we had been giving, doing like $2, it would have taken like a million, billion, gazillion years for us to reach our goal. And that wasn't going to work because I would have died doing it. So we just said, pay what's in your heart. And people would pay like $120 for a cup, and it worked. So, and no one paid nothing because people are really honest. And yeah.
Do I remember that one man gave you $1,000 for a cup of lemonade?
No, that was online.
Oh, that was
the
online.
Largest amount of money we have had for a cup of lemonade is probably $120.
Well, that's still a very expensive cup of lemonade, huh?
Yeah.
So that worked for you. When you let people pay from their heart, then you started making more money because people would give you more than $2.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So now you already told us that your dad's not a lot of a builder and that your mom helped you with the lemonade, but I mean, your dad helped you with your online presence and stuff. I wanted to know what kinds of things did your mom and dad do that helped you with the project?
Well, my dad is a social media expert, so that helped me a lot. And my mom is a really good cook, so she's like really loves to cook. So she helped me making my lemonade.
So your dad is a social media expert. He was letting people know so that eventually people in television and radio heard about what you were doing. And also, was he the one who was doing tweeting for Make a Stand?
Yeah.
Tell us what happened with that tweet.
So we tweeted Nicholas Kristof, a New York Times writer, and he retweeted us, and like things got really busy after that. Like media came to share a wonderful story and raise more awareness to help end child slavery, and yeah.
Yeah. And so that brought in a lot of people who were more interested and people who wanted to help. So how is it now? You live in Fairfax, California, in Marin County. I used to live in Fairfax. I lived there for 28 years. Amelia's dad grew
really?
Up in Fairfax. Uh-huh.
Where?
And,
where in Fairfax?
Right above Fairfax Lumber on Redwood
oh,
Road.
Oh, yeah, I always go there. That's actually the supplies I got to build, like, my first lemonade stand, the first lemonade stand that I ever did in my whole life.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah.
All right, so we know that. So but when you reached your $100,000 mark, you were in New York City in Times Square. How did that happen?
Well, the mayor of New York said would love it if we came to New York, but we said, oh my goodness, there was just a hurricane and we can't be asking these people for money. And so we raised money for Hurricane Sandy. And my brother would stand out there and he would say, help people from Hurricane Sandy. And that was really cute. And so we helped a lot of them. And then we did child slavery and I sang Firework in Times Square.
Wow. So once you start helping one group, you find it in your heart to help more people if they're having a problem. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty compassionate, not to brag or anything, but that it's just been some part of me forever. I've always been super compassionate, and yeah.
So when you say super compassionate, where do you feel that in your body?
I guess my brain.
In your brain.
Or my heart.
Your brain or your heart. You know the brain and the heart are connected, so that
yeah,
makes
sense. Yeah, so probably both.
Okay. So later in the show, I want to talk to you a little bit more about paying attention to your heart, because you asked the people who were buying lemonade to pay what's in their heart, and you have compassion, and that's coming from your heart. I want to talk more about heart as we go along. But
all right.
I want to get started with questions from you guys that are being so wonderfully quiet and cooperative where
yes,
you
thank
are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My brother would never do that. He would be like, hey guys, and be pulling everyone's hair.
I'll bet you a lot of kids at Mary Hill School have younger brothers and sisters too that do annoying things like that. I used to be one of those younger sisters. Anyway, so Mrs. Robinson and Ms. McLean, would you like to tell us something about your class and what you're doing this year that makes you interested in Vivian's project?
Oh, hi, Vivian. We're so excited to have you in our class. The kids have been looking forward to this since we found out about it. We just love your story, and they've been writing some questions and thinking about all kinds of wonderful things. So I think we'll just kind of do a quick overview of our financial literacy project we're working on, and then we have kids that have lots of great questions for you.
Okay.
Tesla, very quickly, you can sit right there and introduce yourself.
I'm Tesla. I'm the director of our financial literacy. We're doing a thing where we do the small business owners are trying to make a candy store. They're making a candy store, and they are learning about profits.
Good, Tesla. Greta, can you tell us about the movie that we're making? Tell her. Say hi. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Greta, and I'm one of the small business owners. There's three of us, and we are trying to open a candy store called Miss Robinson's Candy Store. We're
making a film. So they've made a film that they've been working on all year long, and it's turning out to be quite wonderful. We're going to show it during our open house. It's about 10 minutes long. And it shows how kids want to open a small business here in Midtown Sacramento, and they want to sell candy. And so they have to go to the bank and get a loan and find out what the interest is, how much it's going to cost to rent a building, how much they have to pay their employees, and how much, they have a beginning, what was your beginning fee, Noah?
$60,000.
Okay, so they go through that, then they go to suppliers to get their candy, how much candy they're going to need, what kind of candy, what the cost is going to be for that candy, what the profit's going to be. And then yesterday we filmed our grand opening of Mrs. Robinson's Candy Store, so we actually kind of built a little mini candy store, and I have my candy store owners, and they've also written a commercial, and we also have a debit credit wrap, so they're very excited about what you've done in such a small amount of time. And all the money that you've raised, you're very inspirational. So I'm going to let them start asking some questions after Ms. McLean's class talks a little bit about their financial literacy project.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lindsay. I'm from Ms. McLean's class.
Financial literacy project.
We're doing
project.
Something similar for financial literacy, and we're making books, board games, and video games.
Hi, Vivian. This is Ms. McLean. Lindsay, what happens to our class after we read Vivian's book, Make a Stand?
We try to figure out some of the other problems in the world that have been going on and see what we could do to help.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
Thank you. Yes, we were very inspired by it.
Great.
Same thing, too. And Vivian, we'll send you a video, and also Amelia's grandmother, a video of our movie once we're done.
Wonderful.
Okay. I would love to see it.
Cool. Okay, thank you for introducing that. Now, I think I need to take us to a break, and then I'll come back. So let me just make a little announcement here, and we'll get back. And what I want to do after that is have a number of questions from the students at Mary Hill that you can answer, Vivian, okay?
Okay.
Great. Vivian Haar, who's 11, is my guest today. She has raised and donated more than $100,000 to help end child slavery in the world by making a stand. Actually, a lot more than that, but she's now, with her family, developed a business called Make a Stand that's making even more money with her lemonade stand. You can find out more about her and her project at makeastand.com. The other guests we have are the students of Mrs. Robinson and Ms. McLean's third grade classes from Mary Hill School in Sacramento, California, and they're doing a financial literacy project. What motivates people like our young guests today to do things for other people? And how does a heart figure into that? That's part of what we'll be talking about when we come back here on Full Power Living. As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. Okay, we're back. So what I'd like now is for Mary Hill students, you can ask Vivian directly your question, and when you're done, Vivian, we'll go on to the next question, okay?
Okay. And me.
Good, thank you.
How do you manage schoolwork and run the Lemonade Stand?
Oh, excellent question. Well, some days the Lemonade Stand isn't very long, but that doesn't mean that I'm not helping. That just means that it's a shorter amount of time. And so I can do homework and then go sell lemonade for a half an hour and then come back and feel like I actually made a difference. Because I did.
So, Vivian, what you're saying there is it's not as important how much time you put, but that you keep putting some time every day. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. Okay, thank you for that question, Greta.
What is your goal when you grow up?
Well, after I end child slavery, which I hope to be in 20 years, I hope to have that ended in 20 years. No, I'm sorry, 10 years when I'm 20. So, anyways, I hope to have that ended by then. And after that, I'm probably going to work on, like, animal cruelty and stuff, because that was my main part. That was where I was helping before I knew about child slavery.
I'm McKenna, and I have another question. How many cups of lemonade do you sell a day?
Well, on the slow days, I sometimes sell, like, one or two or three, but on the really fast days, I sell about six, and on the super fast days, I sell about 19.
Okay, can you also tell them, Vivian, how it is that you're selling much more lemonade than that? Because your business, you've taken some of the money that you earned, and you guys have put it back into your business. You make a stand business, and you're making money another way besides just with your lemonade stand, right?
Mm-hmm, because now I've stopped my lemonade stand, unfortunately, and I have bottled Make a Stand lemonade, and I am selling it in bottles, which is a lot easier.
Right.
And a lot more helpful.
And it goes to stores, so it's easier, and you can make more of it, and you can sell more of it, right?
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's really interesting. That's what happens with business. It has to grow, doesn't it? And when it grows, sometimes it changes. Great. All right. Who has another question?
Well, my name is Abby, and my question is, where do you get all your customers? Where do all your customers come from?
Well,
some of them, great name, by the way, Abby. My best friend's name is Abby. Okay, so my customers sometimes are on a trip visiting. Sometimes they live here. Most of them live here because they're just driving by the park. And when I was selling my lemonade, of course. But now my customers come from all over the world because they can visit. I have my lemonade in places in Asia. I have my lemonade in across the country and like in Texas, and we're quickly doing much more lemonade all over the world. And so, yeah, my customers come from all over the place.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Vivian, I think I read or came across the fact that to start letting people know more about your lemonade, you took a tour with, I think it may have been Jenny, in a car that looked like a bottle of lemonade.
Oh, no, I didn't do that.
Who did that?
My friend Jenny Johnson and her friend did it. They drove from Orlando back to California.
And they had a car that looked kind of like a lemonade bottle and it advertised Make a Stand?
Yes.
That was cool. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, it's like cool and weird. And it's hard when you're in it because it's embarrassing because people are like, wow, nice car. And I'm like, thanks. Yeah, so it's embarrassing.
Okay. Who has another question? Thank you, Vivian.
You're welcome.
I wanted to ask, where could we buy your lemonade?
Well, you can buy it online at makeastand.com. And you'll have to talk to my dad more about the location of where my lemonade is sold. But, yeah, so mainly right now I would get it at makeastand.com because then you can get, like, our products and see.
There are some grocery stores that have it, but they could find it at makeastand.com. They could find out where that is, right? Yeah, okay,
mm-hmm.
Good. Thanks, Amelia.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next?
Hi, my name is Ashley, and I was wondering, you have fun running your lemonade stand?
I do. I really, really do. It's sometimes not fun when I'm sick or when I don't want to do it, but I have the help of my friends. I can do anything.
So how did you get your friends involved?
Well, my friends support me. They're my neighbors mostly. My best friend, Abby, was there on the first day. And the one-year anniversary. So, yeah.
Are you kind of like, did you ever read Tom Sawyer? So you're kind of like Tom Sawyer. You do something interesting and all the other kids want to do it with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Okay.
That's definitely it. You got it.
Thank you, Ashley.
My name is Dalton. I have a question. Do you travel to any place that still have child slavery?
Have you traveled any place where they have child slavery?
Actually, that is a very, very, very good question. But no, not yet. Well, actually, yes, because child slavery is in every city, in every state, all over the world, in every country, all over the world. So when I went to Texas, there were slaves there. And there are slaves in California. And so, but, like, you mean really bad, like India or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, no, but I'm going to Nepal soon, so that would be.
Yeah, that's something that people don't know, Vivian, is that we have people who are in slavery even right here where we live because we think of ourselves as being free. What makes you know that somebody's in slavery? What are the characteristic things?
Well, they can't leave. They're hurt, and they aren't paid.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What is the recipe for lemonade?
Well, the recipe for my lemonade?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when I was at the lemonade stand, it was oranges, lemons, agave, and water. And now it's more of a commercial version, which I loved my mom's lemonade a little better than the commercial version. But so now it has, like, stuff that we can, like, replicate. Yeah, that's
what. There is something that's important about the lemonade that you're producing now, if I remember from reading your website, and that is that you use fair trade things, that your company is working really hard not to take advantage of anybody, but to make sure that people are nourished well and also that they get paid well for what they do. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're with this really awesome group called Fair Trade USA. And they give people a fair price for a great product. So before fair trade was invented, people were getting paid 10 cents each pound. And now that fair trade is invented and people actually buy it, they are given a dollar every single time, every pound. So,
A pound of sugar or a pound of fruit?
Pound of whatever, like a pound of coffee, a pound of sugar, a pound of chocolate. Uh-huh. It's just a pound of anything.
Yeah, because a lot of children are used as slave labor in agriculture. And I think a lot of people don't realize that it's in chocolate industry and in the coffee industry and working with, like in California, with the crops. They may have to work in the fields and things. So that's important to know, that you check and see if those products are fair trade so that you don't participate in taking advantage of kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I'm a kid and I don't want to hurt kids.
Absolutely.
Because we're ending child slavery, not nursing it.
Hi, I'm Caleb. Have you met any kids you have helped?
Well, I've met kids who were freed from slavery, but no, I haven't met anyone who I've helped, but I'm going to in Nepal.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Megan. What's your average profit each day, month, and year?
Like, what do we make each year?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. My dad is good with the numbers, but let me see here. Probably about... Oh, I'm terrible at numbers. You'll have to ask my dad, but I would guess probably like $100,000 to $200,000
in a year.
I'm not good with numbers.
Okay, all right. So, but what about when you were running your lemonade stand? Say on a medium day, how much profit would you make?
That depends. Probably on a really slow day, I would make about probably $80.
Uh-huh. On a slow day, but a medium day,
including online donation.
Ah.
But at the lemonade stand, about $40.
Okay. I think you Maryhill students are looking at what kind of profit you might be able to make with your candy stand, too, right?
Hmm.
We're looking to sell a lot, like 20 bars of candies a day to make our profit of buying the candy and selling.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Well, my mouth is watering just listening to candy bars. So once you finally have it, I would love some. And I will pay whatever it costs. Maybe, like, just a suggestion for me would be pay what's in your heart. But you don't have to. But that's a suggestion.
We like that idea very much. And we're going to be brainstorming ways that we can. Now, part of the profits are not real, but part of them, we want to make some profits for some organizations that we're going to be talking about. So. Okay, go ahead and ask your question, Tedla.
I'm Tedla. How do you feel about doing this for all the kids that are in childcare?
Excellent question. Well, I'm so glad that I'm actually helping people and that I'm making a difference. And it's a really joyful thing, much more than any object can give you, much more joy than any object can ever give you.
So instead of thinking about what you can get, you're thinking about what you can do to help, and you're saying that brings you more joy than anything that somebody could give you?
Yes.
I like that.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, we have time for one more question before we take a break.
Hi, my name is Paige. Could other kids make a stand with you?
Yes, definitely. I would love that. In fact, kids are making a stand with me, and we have been getting all this wonderful stuff from them, and it's really empowering. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us an example of what some of the wonderful stuff is?
Well, kids have been writing me letters, and they've been giving me labels from bottles, and we're going to make them custom-made bottles. And but don't tell them. So, yeah.
Oh, your secret's with us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. My name is Katie, and I want to know if you first started selling your lemonade, was it a big hit?
Yeah.
Great.
Because I started in the summer.
Ah, very good. Now, so I'm curious, Vivian, that goes with that question. Are there other kids in other parts of the state or the country that have wanted to set up their own lemonade stands in order to donate money to your project?
Yes.
Great. Wow. And so that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. All right. We're going to call it for this segment. I want to ask you to be thinking if you have enough belief in yourself to do what Vivian has done. Even if you're an adult, do you think you would believe that you could raise over $100,000 to help other people in this world? When we come back, we're going to ask Vivian what allowed her to have the faith that she could do this. You're listening to Full Power Living. We'll be right back. How would you parent your child if he or she were a foreign exchange student? As a host for an exchange student, you'd have five main jobs to do. Those are the same five jobs important in raising kids. People around the world have used this approach to raise kids who are self-directed, make great decisions, and are immune to peer pressure. Get your copy of the Exchange Student Model for Parenting, written by me, Eileen Dillon, now available on Kindle. As a 41-year marriage and family therapist, a single, married, step, adoptive, and grandmother, I've got a thing or two to tell you that's going to lighten your load as a parent and help you create incredible kids who will become amazing adults. Go to Kindle.com and download the Exchange Student Model for Parenting today. Okay, we're right back. Vivian Haar, who's 11, hails from Marin County, California, and she's author of Make a Stand. She's raised and donated well over $100,000 to end world child slavery, and she's our guest today. We also have 38 third-grade students from Maryhill School in Sacramento, California, who are interested in Vivian and what she's been able to accomplish and who are doing their own financial literacy program and working to donate to causes to help other people. So, Vivian, I want to talk with you a little bit about the question that I raised at the end of our last segment. What was it inside of you that gave you the faith that you thought you could make money to make a difference? What is that?
Well, kids don't see a lot of obstacles in the world. And I just feel really happy to be picked to make a stand. And so I'm realizing that. And
mm-hmm. So then the way I understand your response is you're saying that maybe as people get older and become adults, they start thinking maybe more about why they can't do something instead of why they can or why not.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So that might be a really good thing for people who are listening to this program to learn from all of you children, because you're all doing this kind of thing, and that is look at what you can do, not at what you think you can't do or what the obstacles are. Mm-hmm. What do you say, Vivian?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, do we have any more questions from Maryhill Kids?
Yes. Hi, Vivian. I'm Emma. If we want to make our own stand, how do we go about making one?
Wow. I've never been asked that question. So don't think of all the reasons that you can't. Think of all the reasons that you can, and don't be afraid, because if you're afraid and you don't try, then you'll never learn. And it's better to do something and fail than never know. And just don't be afraid.
But how can they actually make one? You said you guys ordered a lemonade stand?
Mm-hmm.
So you can have maybe your parent help you look up online how to order a lemonade stand, or like you said, your first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, like at Amazon, or just find some sort of white lemonade stand that you can paint. And
all right, thank you.
Hi, I'm Nathan, and I'm got another question. How do you bottle your lemonade?
Well, we have a factory in Michigan, and we just, like, you probably know how, like, products come out, and if you don't, that's fine. Basically, like, you just put a bottle, and you fill it up, and then you seal it, and then you give it to the grocery stores to distribute among people. And
yeah, we probably, all of us have seen that on TV where the bottles go around on a little round thing, and the contents, in this case lemonade, squirts in, and then there's a thing that pushes a cap down on top of it, and then they toddle off and you put them in a box. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can show you a video of that if you haven't already seen it. Have you?
No, we haven't yet.
Oh my gosh, I have to show you. Okay. Huh. I'll send it to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Eric, and the question that I have is, are you close to ending child slavery?
Well, great question. My dad's name is Eric, and so no. But we can get very close very fast with the help of people like our dear investors and people who will donate to our cause, but are about 1/10 of the way through.
Wow.
But I hope to do it by the time I'm 20. If I don't, I will be sad. But if I do, I will be happy. But I won't be sad, and I'll just keep going.
So you're not going to stop. This is part of it. Okay, so
no, I'm not going to stop until I end child slavery.
That is wonderful. So we can all help too. If you see anybody who's being taken advantage of, you can tell somebody about it, like the police or somebody in authority. Would you say that would work too, Vivian? Would that be helpful?
Oh yeah, you can set up a cause to help people like that.
Uh huh.
And so, because like you might not have any proof, and it might be sort of hard to explain. So I would just set up a lemonade stand for that cause.
Okay, so you would make it possible, especially since you're a kid, you'd make it possible for other people who may be able to have more authority to take care of the issue in person. And as a kid, you can contribute by bringing funds to help them. Is that right?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. All right, are there any more questions?
No, those are all our questions today. Thank you, Vivian. You've answered quite a few of them. So whenever you're ready, my wonderful Amelia, who you know very well, is going to close it out for us. So whenever you let us know, Eileen.
Okay, well, I want to ask Vivian a couple more questions, and then we'll close it out together. So, Vivian, a while ago we were talking, and you said you made it possible for people to pay for the lemonade, pay what's in their heart. And then I asked you what part of you, and you said it was your brain and your heart. Did you find it painful, like when you saw the picture of those two brothers hauling the heavy rocks, did you find it kind of painful in your heart to think that some children were being treated that way?
Yes, very, because I have a little brother, and his name is Turner, and he is so cute, and the boys were about the age of 7 or 8, so it was really sad.
Okay, so I just want to follow this a little bit. So you felt sad in your heart, and you listened to your heart, and your heart said, why don't you do something about it? And that's when you decided to do something about it. Is that correct?
Yes.
What have you learned about listening to your heart that you can share with all
of
us?
Your heart makes a lot of great decisions in life,
mm-hmm.
and if you follow them, your heart's decisions, then you can reach something really great.
Okay, so we're talking about listening to what's in your heart and then taking action based on what's in your heart. And what I want to know is, did you have something happen in your heart today that you would like to take action on because you've been able to listen to what Vivian's done?
Hi, my name's Abigail. When I'm listening to you, I'm thinking I want to do what you're doing. That's a really good thing to do.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
So, Vivian, think about that. When you do something, and you've had lots of evidence of this, when you do something that's in your heart and you're moved and you take action on it, then other people who either see or hear about it, they are moved to take action on what's in their heart too. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, very.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When I was listening to you throughout the Skype, I was thinking about to donate.
And Ethan's family owns several restaurants in town, so he's aware of a lot of produce and maybe donating.
Hi, Ethan.
Oh, that's really great. Okay, so I think that's a really important point, that when we do things that are in our heart, then we not only can help other people, but we can help other people open their hearts. The way you students at Maryhill got, some of you got your hearts open today from listening to Vivian. And Vivian, that also must be a really great feeling for you too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Amelia, do you want to finish up what for Maryhill, please?
Thank you very much for letting us be on this radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great that you guys were on. Wasn't it fun, Vivian?
Yeah, very.
And we had a lot of fun, too. Everybody, you want to tell her how much fun we had and say thank you?
Thank you!
You're welcome.
Okay, so Vivian, you started moving a lot of energy when you listened to your heart, because you've got grown-ups like me bringing you onto their radio programs and doing tweeting for you. You've gotten a lot of people to know about slavery for children in the world, and you started, with the help of grown-ups in your own life, a business that's continuing to work to make money to stop world slavery. And you've got a great product, some bottled lemonade that people can drink when they want something tasty. So I just want to thank you for following your heart and then being so willing to share it with others. You're really great on the radio and such a kind person. It's really nice to be able to talk with you.
Thank you. Really nice to be able to talk with you as well.
Great. All right, so let me remind people that your website is makeastand.com, and that's the name of her book also. And you can go and find a lot more about Vivian on Make a Stand, and you can also make donations, lemons and sugar, or agave, I guess, and also just money to help end world slavery. So this program has been very, very special for me. Vivian, thank you for being here with us today, and for being, you're a very gracious hostess. I won't be surprised if one day you have your own radio program.
Thank you.
And so all of you third graders from Maryhill School in Sacramento, you have made this show a lot of fun. And
thank you. I don't think I've had an interview that this fun in a whole while.
Right. And so I want to keep hearing about everybody's projects as you're learning more about money and finance. Okay, Mrs. Robinson, Ms. McLean, thank you for your work making this show possible for your students. And producer Paul of Fresh Talk Media, thank you for bringing it all together. I want to remind you to listen to Full Power Living again next week, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Thursday, when our guest is spiritual catalyst Teal Scott, an author and helping us to wake up to what's inside of ourselves in maybe a different way than Vivian has. For now, I'm your show creator and host, Eileen Dillon, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.